Bruce is going to be concentrating on winning Indiana, while Kasich is going to focus on Oregon and New Mexico.
I'm going to come in with a ton of delegates. Donald Trump is going to come in with a ton of delegates. And one of the two of us is going to be the nominee. And it's going to be a battle.
That's Cruz speaking at a town hall on Fox News. I'm Chuck Gomez.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
In the best of times, things are pretty easy. But when things go wrong, are you prepared for your family? Hi, this is Rusty Humphreys. Let me tell you about my good friends at Numana. Numana is a company that makes the best storable foods available anywhere in the world. It's easy to prepare. It's long-term food storage that has organic superfoods that are superior products to help your family thrive in any situation. These hearty foods are made with only the best healthy, natural ingredients. And let me tell you, my friends at Numana, they avoid the chemicals and the processes that have been found to make people sick. You don't want that. There's no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, no added MSG, no chemical preservatives, no soy. Just the best foods to be available in the worst of times. You can find it all on the website, usaradiofood.com. usaradiofood.com. Find out more at usaradiofood.com.
Just 1 week after California's governor signs a $15 minimum wage boost into law, employees at UC Berkeley get a memo saying 500 jobs are being cut. USA Radio's John DeMaster reports.
Berkeley was already in financial trouble. Last year, they ran a $109 million deficit and projects one of $150 this year thanks to the higher wages. Last year, ahead of this decision, the university's president had announced plans to boost the minimum wage independent of the state law. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
President Obama is sending more troops to Syria to help fight ISIS. According to the Wall Street Journal, the president will unveil plans to boost the U.S. presence in Syria by sending 250 additional military personnel. That brings the total number of American troops in Syria to 300. About 50 special operations soldiers were deployed to the country last year. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to usaradio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphreys. Check it out, usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
More than 80 senators are pushing President Obama to agree to a new defense aid package for Israel. 83 senators have sent Obama a letter calling for more than $3 billion in defense funding the U.S. currently provides the Jewish state. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham and Connecticut Democrat Chris Kuhn are leading the effort. Laundry detergent packets are harming more and more children. A new study in pediatrics shows a 17% increase in calls to U.S. poison control centers in 2013 and 2014. The study shows the majority of poisonings were from accidental exposure to the detergent packets, which are more concentrated than regular detergent. With 60 cases of the Zika virus already reported in New York, Senator Chuck Schumer is calling for emergency funding to help stem the spread of the illness in the U.S. Correspondent Mitch Leiby tells us time is running out.
Schumer says nearly $2 billion is needed before the mosquito season takes hold in June and July.
They need preparation. They need the dollars. They know what to do. They have a plan. We've been very successful at eradicating mosquito-borne diseases.
Schumer says the money could be used for mosquito control programs across the country. He adds, with so many women and families looking for action, it is critical that Congress work to approve the funding as soon as possible. Mitch Leiby, New York.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Oh, man. Well, staying in touch with Geico.
Just the other night, as I gazed up into the sky, I saw a shooting star. In that moment, I made a wish that Geico would be available 24/7, by phone, on the web, or with the Geico app. After that, I realized my wish had already come true. So basically, I had just wasted a perfectly good wish. Then I started to think about dolphins and felt better right away.
Geico. Anywhere, anytime.
I'm Sean Hayer, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
In the coming weeks, Supreme Court justices deliberate the constitutionality of President Obama's executive actions on immigration. Outside the high court today, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the president exceeded his executive authority.
If we allow a president, whether it's this president or a future president, no matter what their political persuasion or their party, to make changes in the law without congressional approval, then we will end up with a perverted constitution.
Justices heard oral arguments in the case challenging the actions, which aim to shield several million illegal immigrants from deportation. The state of Texas is the primary litigant in the case. Paxton notes that Obama does not have authority to make law. Supporters of the action argue that Texas does not have legal standing to challenge it. The case could be decided on in June. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The presidential candidates who are ahead in the delegate counts are not winning voters' hearts. Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton and Republican frontrunner Donald Trump have very high negative ratings. The latest NBC News poll finds almost two-thirds of Americans surveyed have a negative view of Trump, while 24% give him a positive rating. Clinton gets a 32% positive score and a 56% negative. Two runners from Ethiopia are the men's and women's winners of the Boston Marathon today, that race run under heavy security. In a related story, a Utah couple will never have a problem remembering where they got engaged. Here's USA Radio's John DeMaster.
Walter Brown and several others from Utah made the trip to the East Coast to run in the Boston Marathon.
The cliche is, if you want to see your sweetheart or someone that you are attracted to at their absolute worst, then you can come to this finish line.
Brown took some video of the runner standing at the finish line yesterday, and while he was talking, he told his fiance that he had an important question to ask. After handing off his phone, he got down on one knee and proposed to Bethany Erickson. Brown posted the video on Facebook, where it was found by several media outlets and publicized. No matter what the results are in the marathon, Brown and Erickson will have another celebration, as today is also Brown's birthday. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
This is USA Radio News.
And we're live in the studio. This is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Hot and Hunterdon. I'm going to keep our guest mic lower until we have it all figured out over there. So today is April 18th. So happy to be with everyone. We are talking to Bill Goodwin today from Gephardt and Kiefer. We're going to be talking about attorneys and exciting things over here. But as always, first we have to start with a quote. And we're going to talk about negotiation and collaborative divorce maybe later if we have time here. So we're going to do a quote on negotiation, and it is this: the best move you can make in negotiation is to think of an incentive that the other person hasn't even thought of and then meet it. So meeting things halfway and being collaborative is some of our topics for today. We're going to be talking about selecting an attorney and areas of practice and maybe some changes in the law. Let's see. Are you live now, Bill?
I think so.
Yeah, very good. All right, we have it going on here today. So we're going to do our weather and a commercial, and then we'll be back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
We're back here at Hot 100, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and we're talking about weather right now. So it is beautiful. If you have a convertible, put the top down. Sunny with a high near 79 right now. It's gorgeous. Tomorrow is not going to be your day to call in sick if you're going to the Women's Leadership Summit. So I hope to see you all there tomorrow. We have a beautiful day, a high of 70 tomorrow. And the nights are getting a little bit warmer. We have a low of 49 this evening. And tomorrow night, Tuesday night, the 19th of April, we're looking at a low of 39. Wednesday, now, Bill, that's your day to call in sick. Okay, that's the beach day. High of 65 and sunny. So we've got a great, great week of weather. The rest of the week's looking good, 69 on Thursday. And we're actually going to make it into the 70s on Friday, a high of 72. We're pretty excited about that. We have one more commercial to pay the bills, and then we'll be back here in the studio.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And here we are in the studio with my guest, Bill Goodwin. Bill, you didn't know that we had a little game here that we have like a string on the microphone to see if it could stay at the right level there.
I'm working on it.
I think we're all set now. I'm usually quite happy we don't have a camera in the studio.
I agree.
So you are with Gephardt and Kiefer. If you want to tell our listeners your name and your credentials and the area of law that you practice.
Sure. My name is Bill Goodwin, and I've been with Gephardt and Kiefer for 33 years. Gephardt and Kiefer has been around since 1884, and I am a certified matrimonial attorney and also a certified mediator, divorce mediator. So my practice is 100% related to divorce and divorce-related issues.
So we have to ask.
Sure.
So you went into family law, which typically family law cases don't end up in litigation, but you are still a trial attorney?
Yes. Every divorce case starts out with the potential of being litigated and going to trial, but you're right in the sense that probably 95% or more don't go to trial. But you've got to be prepared for that eventuality.
And I saw that you are certified a certified matrimonial lawyer from the Supreme Court of New Jersey.
Yes. In order to become a certified, it's sort of like being a board certified doctor. You have a specialty area. There's certain specialty areas where if you have enough experience and you have enough enough peer recognition from judges and from other lawyers, and then there's an exam. And if you pass the exam and pass all of the other requirements, you can become certified by the Supreme Court. And there's a five-year term, and then you have to renew each time. So I've been certified since they started certification for matrimonial lawyers back in 1998.
So I imagine if you're looking for an attorney, that would be something important to consider.
I think if you were interviewing different lawyers, which I recommend people do, for a potential divorce or family-related case, one of the questions you could ask that lawyer is, are you a certified matrimonial law attorney?
Excellent. Now, you mentioned the history of the firm. Is it over 130 years? Is it one of the oldest firms in the county?
Oh, it's the oldest firm in the county. It's probably one of the oldest firms in the state.
Really?
Yes, founded by William C. Gebhardt, and then his two sons came along in the 1920s, and then a fellow by the name of Bud Kiefer came along in the 1930s. And the firm has kept that name continuously since then.
Are there still people from the original
founders? No, not from either family,
no,
unfortunately.
Okay, but you kept the name?
Oh, yes, yep. The name, I think, is a valuable asset that we have because it's been around so long.
And I think everyone knows where the firm is because it's where everyone breaks on 31 before the Clinton Township Police Department.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And right past the Old West Barbecue place, which recently shut down, but the sign is still there.
We start to feel our age when we start to say used to be's,
right? Longhorn Saloon.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
Do you remember the name before the Longhorn Saloon? Was it Mexican?
No, actually, it was the Longhorn back in the early 80s when I came out here. And then it was Kiki Rios for a while. And then it was Coco Loco for a while. And then it was the barbecue grill place.
Very good.
Hasn't had good luck recently.
No, it hasn't. But your firm's right on 31. It's very visible. Lots of parking.
Yes.
Easy to get to and has a long history and tradition. It's nice when that carries on, even if people from the family and the original founders are no longer with the firm. It's nice that you carry on the tradition.
And the practice is not just family law. There's insurance law, personal injury law, real estate transactions, wills, estates, and other kinds of litigation as well. There's about 20 lawyers plus paralegals and other staff.
Is that considered to be a small firm in New Jersey or a medium-sized firm?
I would say a medium-sized firm. By Hunterdon County standards, it's a large firm, but everything's relative.
I guess that's true. So what made you go into family law?
A couple of things. I think one of the things that I like about family law, and I sort of thought I would like when I first got involved, is that you're really dealing with people, and you're dealing with people going through a difficult time. So you not only can address the legal issues, but you can form a personal relationship with somebody as they go through this difficult time. And to me, that's really makes it more meaningful than just, you know, I'm going to handle your will or I'm going to handle your real estate closing. That's more of a business transaction. Here, there's more of a personal relationship, and that's what I wanted to do, and I've found that that's been the case over the years.
So it's all about relationships.
Well, it's a big part of it.
Okay. And in being able to file for divorce or you're thinking about a divorce, when's a good time to select an attorney?
Well, the first step, I think, is if you know you have problems and you know you have issues and you really have no idea what your rights are, what your obligations will be, how long something might take, what the issues are, how much it may cost, you really ought to consult with a lawyer. And you probably should consult with more than one because you really want to make sure, as I said before, it's about relationships. You want to make sure that you feel comfortable with the person you're going to be working with because you could be working with them for a year or more. And at times you could be working with them for, you know, significant periods of time. You know, a day here, a day there, where you're in court all the time or you're in meetings all the time or in mediation, and you want to have somebody you feel you can work with and who's going to work for you.
Especially when it's a traumatic event like a divorce.
Absolutely.
Really,
so it's a major loss. When they talk about the major life stresses, you know, a death in the family, the loss of a job and other things like that, divorce is right up there.
Okay. We're going to do a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this and we're going to talk about maybe some changes that have been going on in New Jersey in the law. Stay with us.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back in the studio. I have Bill Goodwin with me from Gephardt & Kiefer, an attorney firm here in Clinton, New Jersey, and the oldest firm in Hunterdon County, and perhaps they may share that with New Jersey if we were doing some law trivia today. We're talking about family law, divorce, and we're going to be talking about collaborative divorce and negotiations. But first, we're going to talk about some of the changes that have been going on in New Jersey with the laws around family law.
Yeah, just in terms of a major substantive change, a lot of people may already know this, Georgine, but there was a major move to change some of the alimony laws in New Jersey, and there was a revision package that was passed and signed into the law by the governor back in September of 2014, which applies only to cases that were pending or continue beyond that date. There are several significant differences. I don't want to get down into the weeds too much, but I know people are concerned. People who have to pay alimony or may have to pay alimony are always concerned about how long will I have to pay the alimony. And in New Jersey, there was something called permanent alimony, where a former spouse could have to pay alimony to the other spouse for the rest of that spouse's life or until that spouse remarried or if some other things occurred. One of the changes that they made in the law now is that unless you have an exceptional situation, unless the marriage was 20 years or longer, the duration of the alimony can't be longer than the duration of the marriage. So a simple example, if someone was married for 10 years, they know going in, or once they talk to a lawyer, they'll learn going in, that they're probably the limit of their exposure, if you will, of paying alimony would be for a period of 10 years. So that's one example of a change. Another change relates to what's called cohabitation, which is sort of a hot topic. So if I were divorced and I'm paying alimony to my ex-wife, and now she's living with another man, let's say they're not married, but they're living together for the most part, maybe they're sharing finances, that's not the same as remarriage, which would automatically terminate the alimony. But under the new law, it's possible that the alimony could be terminated or even suspended, at least, while she's living with that person. Another change relating to that same statute has to do with retirement. So if I'm paying alimony and I reach a certain age and I retire, it's more likely than not that my alimony would end at that stage or at that age, as opposed to the old law where it was more murky. So that's one of the main areas substantively where there's been some changes. There are some other bills that are that the State Bar Association is pressing and is pushing for, but they haven't gotten too far so far, and I don't know whether they're going to change. But they relate to when is a child emancipated, college expenses, moving out of state with children, which is another very hot topic in New Jersey cases. I had a case that went to the New Jersey Supreme Court many years ago that dealt with that very issue. So there's a lot going on, but the main law that has been changed is the alimony law.
So on the changes for the law with the alimony and the retirement, does this mean that if you had a divorce and it was finalized, you can go back and revisit things?
Not quite. In retirement, they seem to have broken it out into two or three different sections, one of which is for people who had already been divorced when this law was passed, and the other one applies to people who were not yet divorced when the law was passed. And it's easier for the people who are not already divorced. Without overcomplicating it, regardless of any other changes in the law, if I'm obligated to pay alimony and I have a significant change in my situation or my ex-wife has a significant change in her situation, one of us or the other could always go back to court and seek a modification. So, for example, if I were paying alimony and 5 or 10 years later I became disabled and I couldn't work anymore, then that would be a situation or a circumstance where it would be likely that my alimony would be reduced significantly or maybe even terminated. The new law basically talks about specifics, though, about, okay, what about retirement? What's a appropriate retirement age? And what happens when you retire? Things of that sort. But it's definitely more advantageous for people who were not already divorced when the law was passed.
Okay. So we do know that if you have any questions about this and you don't have a current attorney, they can call your firm or
Absolutely.
Make an appointment to
Sure.
meet with you.
Absolutely.
And review this, and I'm sure there are some great websites, attorney websites, and that deal with the changes
sure.
and highlight them.
There are two other partners, Bill Rudnick and Diana Fredericks, who both work with me in the family law department, and we all blog, so our website has many of the blogs that deal with these issues.
I think that's helpful. Sometimes,
sure.
As you know, you didn't want to get too into the weeds. We like the weeds around
right.
here.
Okay, that's fine.
We love
Especially
weeds
in the spring.
Here.
Right.
Absolutely. We think dandelions are flowers,
okay.
so it's always good here. But sometimes the, you know, just like the medical profession, social service, we have acronyms for everything.
Yes.
Sometimes the attorney language can be much more complicated. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's based on, you know, court filings.
That's why they call
and those
legalese,
kind of things.
Yes.
Exactly. So it's nice to, that people in your firm, and Diana's been on here, in fact, one time she did a blog and then she came on to talk about it. It was
nice.
Really quite interesting. But it's nice because it's a more informal way to gain information and to learn a little bit more about something that can be really complicated.
Yes. Yeah, I try to, I mean, I learn things when people provide them to me in small bite-sized pieces. That's just the way my brain works. So I try to present information to people that same way.
I think that's helpful. And I think in having to deal with sometimes things that are emotional, I think most people tend to shut off or, you know, you act like when you're in crisis, it's difficult to make a decision.
Sure.
You're making a decision based on the information you have at the
yes.
moment. You
yes.
want to get through something, get
yeah.
past it.
Well, and without going into too much detail, because I don't want to betray any confidences, I was in court recently and I was representing the wife and they're married a very long time. And she didn't want the divorce and she really wants to hold on to their house. And we're looking at the numbers to see how affordable it is, and it's becoming more and more apparent that it may be difficult, if not impossible, to do that. And I could see the tears welling up in her eyes as she's trying to gauge. And she's a smart woman. She's someone who's got some finance in her background, and she's looking at these two different scenarios, keeping this house and not keeping this house. And one, from a financial point of view, makes much more sense, which is unfortunately having to sell the house. But the other one from the emotional point of view is I had to let go of my marriage and my family, and now I have to let go of our house. And I could see her struggling with that. So my answer was, you don't have to decide anything at this point. We've got a number of months before we have to make a decision. Sit with it for a while, and then let's come back to the numbers. Let's get a financial person involved and see if we can crunch the numbers, refinance your mortgage. There may be a way we can still do this. And then the question is, if you can do it, is it still worth it for you to do it?
And do you want to do it? And
right.
I think that's a good role mm-hmm. as an attorney to be able to be that voice of reason.
Yeah, we're not robots who just spew out the law. We have to take into account, try to be more holistic, look at the person's situation and what is best for them. They have to make the final decision, but give them the options and help them weigh the options.
And at least you can understand the emotional turmoil that can go into
sure.
a decision-making that doesn't – sometimes it leads us to the right decisions, but often it leads us to a decision we wouldn't have made under different circumstances.
Right, exactly, if we were just looking at it as a business.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about today is about choosing a firm
mm-hmm.
and how someone would go through the process. You said you think it earlier in the segment that you think it's good to interview more than one firm. Can you talk us through that?
Sure. I mean, the downside of that is that lawyers do charge for their time when they meet with somebody. And a lot of people think, well, why don't you give your time for free? And I say, well, that's really the only thing a lawyer has is the lawyer's time and the lawyer's advice. And if the person interviews you and spends an hour or two with you, you've given them something of value. So it is difficult to invest a lot of time and a lot of money. But what I do is if someone wants to talk to me on the phone, just to hear my voice, just to ask me a few basic questions, just to get an idea of some things for like 15 or 20 minutes, I'm not going to charge them for that time. And they can do that. There are probably other lawyers who would do it the same way. So you might be able to talk to four or five different lawyers, just get a sense of who sounds like they know what they're talking about, who sounds like they would care about my case, and then maybe meet with a couple of those lawyers. The things you want to do is, number one, you want to get the factual questions answered. You know, you want to see, do they know what they're talking about? You know, for example, if you say to them, what are the chances of this happening or what are the chances of that happening? Any lawyer, even the most experienced lawyer, is not going to be able to say, well, this is exactly what's going to happen. There's too many unknowns. But you don't want to hear somebody say, well, I don't know, or it depends. You want to hear well, your worst case is somewhere around here, your best case is somewhere around here, and whether it's your best or worst is going to depend on these particular factors. So you want to have someone who sounds like they know what they're talking about, and you want to ask them, as I said before, are you certified in this area? How long have you been practicing in general? How long have you been practicing in this particular area of the law? And what percentage of your practice is this area of the law? My practice, for example, is 100% family law, divorce and divorce-related. It includes the mediation and the collaborative, but it's all about divorce, whereas other lawyers maybe are very good lawyers, but maybe only 30% of their practice is divorce, and they're doing other things on the side. They don't have the same ability to devote 100% of their time to this.
And you mentioned that you have two other partners.
Yes.
That handle family law. So.
And only family law, exactly.
So you have a nice group if
yes.
You can't cover something or...
Well, yeah, and different people have... Each of us has different styles. Each of us has different approaches. And some people will... sometimes two of us will sit in on an interview, charge for one person's time. But somebody might say, I like working with this person. I seem to hit it off better with that person, or I like that person's approach or that person's style. And some people have gender preferences. Some people feel more comfortable working with a man. Some people feel more comfortable working with a woman, all other things being equal. And I think they have to listen to that.
We take our cues, sometimes how we feel when we meet people and how we interact with them. So if it's possible, you would suggest doing an in-person interview with an attorney, certainly.
Right. But because of the cost, I don't think it's unreasonable for a lawyer to spend 15 or 20 minutes on the phone with somebody just asking, you know, you can't really get into the substantive questions too much, but you can certainly answer some basic questions, you know, about whether they can get divorced here or not, and what are the grounds for divorce, and what might the issues be, without getting too deep into it.
And certainly if you do an initial 10 or 15-minute phone conversation, you could talk about fees and expectations, hours.
Absolutely. And you can ask is this your only area? Do you do other areas of practice? What percentage of your practice is this? Are you certified? Do you do mediation? You know, how long have you been practicing? You can ask all those questions.
And it is important. You do have to feel a level of comfort with the attorney that you're selecting and with the firm, too, because you may be having a great relationship with an attorney, but you're getting billed incorrectly.
Right.
From the
exactly.
Billing department.
Yes.
So you need to, in addition to interviewing the attorney, get a feel for the firm, look at, you know, their website, look at what other areas they have. It may be a firm that you grow with.
Right. No, and you're right. It's a good point about the staff, too. You can ask questions about the staff and who their staff is and how many people work for them and how are billing things handled, how are complaints handled, you know, what is there an internal policy for these things? Those are all legitimate questions that should be answered.
And we should remind people that if they're in a financial position where they can't afford an attorney, that your firm and Diana Fredericks has been great doing workshops for us through our legal clinic to
Absolutely.
Help the Career and Life Transition
Sure.
Center at Norwest Cap. So you can always go to a clinic first.
Absolutely.
Get a feel for some of the information, get some general information, and then if you're able to retain an attorney, at least you would have some background on that.
Right. And one thing, Georgine, if I could just to transition a little bit about the affording a lawyer or retaining a lawyer. A lot of the people, of course, don't have access to the funds just because of the way their marriage has been set up, but their spouse may have access to the funds. So it may be a traditional situation where maybe the husband is controlling all the finances and has all the assets in his name, but the wife is the one who needs the legal help. There are ways for the husband to have to provide the finances for the wife. The law refers to it as making sure there's a level playing field for both parties.
Excellent. That's good to know. And obviously you want to get an attorney that knows that to make things a little bit easier. We're going to do a commercial break, Bill, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about collaborative divorce and what that exactly means. But we do need to do a news break right now.
Sure.
So I hope everyone stays with us. Again, this is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Houghton Hunterdon. I'm here today with Bill Goodwin. We're talking to him from the firm Gephardt and Kiefer, and they're in Clinton and the oldest law firm in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
The Supreme Court looks to be divided on President Obama's executive action on immigration. Justices heard about 90 minutes of oral arguments in the case today. Terry Moore has details on what's at stake.
Justices will consider the challenge to President Obama's executive actions on immigration.
We've got a lot of confidence in the strength of our argument that we'll make before the Supreme Court.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
You know, we're hopeful, but we'll see.
The executive actions were aimed at shielding several million illegal immigrants from deportation. Obama took the steps in late 2014 and accused Congress of inaction on immigration reform. Republicans accused the president of far exceeding his authority, and lower courts put a freeze on the executive actions. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
The case could be decided as early as June of this year. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
The flooding in Houston and southeast Texas is being called some of the worst in modern history.
Just the volume, the sheer volume of water coming down. So I'm seeing flooding in places that I've never seen flooding before.
Peter Ream says he was fortunate his boss told him not to make the trek to his work in the Spring Cypress area of town because the power is out and the garages are flooded. Corey Stevens says her home is almost flooded out.
What I've been doing is actually trying to save the carpet in my dining room. I've taken all the towels in my house, and I'm trying to get that water out. A little worried about that, though, because I think it's still seeping in.
The fast-moving water has stranded hundreds of drivers, flooded homes, and canceled 500 flights at the local airport. Over 1 million students in Houston were told to stay home from school today. Harris County, Texas has declared a disaster. No deaths have been reported. More than 120,000 people in Houston are without power. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Getting something done from start to finish can be a tough task if you're constantly distracted. Tammy Rose has more on how to recognize and fix several concentration killers.
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter may be great ways to connect with others, but social media can also cause you to disconnect, especially while at work. One way to avoid the urge of scrolling through feeds is to do so during breaks. You can still check status updates without having to jeopardize your responsibilities. We've all experienced the email overload. Work-related or not, they can sometimes keep you away from other assignments. One solution is to set a specific time aside just to check and respond to emails. That way, you're not constantly checking your inbox. I'm Tammy Rose.
A federal appeals court is upholding the NFL's billion-dollar concussion settlement with former players. Today, a three-judge panel said that while the settlement is not perfect, it is fair. A group of players had objected to the deal, which was approved by a federal judge a year ago. Those players say the settlement didn't cover potential victims of degenerative brain diseases that have been linked to repeated blows to the head. A new poll is out. 42% of parents believe children's health today is worse than when they were kids. That's according to the C.S. Mott's Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
We're back in the studio here. I have Bill Goodwin with me from Gephardt & Kiefer, an attorney firm in Hunterdon County on Route 31. And that is Clinton Township with a Clinton mailing address. Is that right?
Yeah, we had been on Main Street in Clinton forever and ever. So when we moved to the current location in 1989, we wanted to keep the Clinton address. So we still get our mail from the post office there.
Excellent. Okay. Around Hunterdon County, for our listeners that are outside, you can have a you can live in one township and have a mailing address from a different post office. It's just however the post office figures it out, I guess. And so we do know that the firm is very visible on Route 31. We went through where it was near old restaurants. There was a bar down the shore, and it changed names so many times, the next owners finally just called it Used to Be's, because
right.
everyone referred to it as Used to Be's. So we know that you're on Route 31 North and in Clinton Township. And in order to learn a little bit more about your firm, people can go on your website, which is www.gephardtandkieferlegal.com.
That's right.
And then they can check out information on you. There's a biography on you there with your experience and your educational background, which is New Jersey, Seton Hall University.
Correct.
And you had a BA from Seton Hall, and then you went on to D.C. Did you do a internship at Capitol Hill or anything?
No, I did not. I worked for a couple of law firms, though, while I was in law school.
Excellent.
Patent copyright firms down there.
Okay. And you've changed with the times, because we're talking about something new, relatively new, that a lot of people don't know the concept, which is collaborative divorce. And I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, sure. If I could, just two things together, I guess. I mentioned before that more than 95% of cases, divorce cases, settle. So the question is, how do you get there? And one way is the traditional way, which is to the two lawyers and their clients get all the information, sit in a room and fight and argue forever, and then finally come to a settlement just before the case goes to trial. Obviously, that's the least desirable. Something I do quite a bit of, Georgine, is called mediation. And maybe many of your listeners have been through mediation or understand what mediation is, but just for those who don't, a mediator, which is a role that I often play, doesn't represent either party, and my law firm can't represent either party. But I meet with both parties together. I might have them in separate conference rooms, but my role is to be a facilitator. I know what the issues are. I know the facts in their case because I've done an intake with them. And then we go through each issue, and I might, as I said, I might have them in separate rooms, which is called caucusing. So I might go to her and ask her, what does she want, and talk about the, you know, whether that's achievable or not. And then I'm going to go talk to him about what does he want, talk to him about whether it's achievable. Then I might bring them back into the same room together and talk about where each of them is and how far apart they are and what their best case and worst case scenarios are. And then my job is to offer, not to tell them the decision. That's not my role, not my right to decide it for them, but basically to talk about what their options are and what's perhaps worked in other cases. So that's mediation. And then
I have a question on the
sure.
mediation.
Sure.
So if you don't represent either party, are you appointed by the court?
Well, you can be. You could be a couple different things. You could be hired by the parties privately. So I might get a call from someone saying you mediated a divorce case for our friends, and now my husband and I or my wife and I are going to be going through that same process. Can you mediate for us? And sure, then I'll talk to them on the phone together, do some intake, and then they'll come in together. So it's like a privately retained mediator. There's also a court program where when people get to a certain stage of their case, if they're not settled, the court will refer them to mediation, and then the lawyers will choose a mediator. And so I might be chosen by the lawyers as well. So there's sort of two different ways of getting appointed as a mediator, one through private people, the other one through the court system.
And you do both?
Sure. It's because the process is the same. It's just a question of how you got the clients in. And then you have collaborative divorce, which is something that's very new. There's actually a law in New Jersey, the Collaborative Divorce Act. And the unique thing about collaborative law is I guess everybody's putting their money where their mouth is, because when the parties begin the process with their lawyers, both each party and each lawyer signs what's called a participation agreement. And in that participation agreement, it says that we are going to avoid litigation, we're going to avoid filing, we're going to avoid the court system entirely, 100%. We're going to meet together. In fact, it's interesting because in a traditional four-way settlement conference, I had one this morning, my client and I were sitting on one side of the table, and her husband and his lawyer were sitting on the other side of the table. In a collaborative, the two lawyers sit on one side of the table, and the two clients sit on the other side of the table. So it's very much you're not a neutral mediator. You're representing a party, but you're representing them in a way that's very non-adversarial, where you're trying to talk through solutions and come up with solutions. You're still advocating for your client, but outside the traditional courtroom setting, and you may need to get additional experts involved in the case. So if you have a custody issue, for example, you may jointly hire a custody expert, a forensic psychologist perhaps, who gets involved in the case and makes some recommendations, but again, as a neutral. Or you may have an accountant who evaluates a business as a neutral, not for one side versus the other side. But the unique thing about collaborative, besides all of that, is this participation agreement in essence says if this process fails and one party opts out or the other party opts out or both parties opt out and it's not going to work, and now they're going to go to the next stage, which is to start litigation, which could still settle, which could still end up in mediation at some point, the lawyers have to get out of the case and the clients have to hire brand new lawyers. So it's really the lawyers are basically saying, I'm in this to help you through this process, and if this process fails, I know I'm losing a client. And the client says, I know if this process fails, I'm losing a lawyer and have to start over with a different lawyer.
Bill, why would they write that into the law?
This came out of California. I'm not sure that's your answer to your question, but it's...
So if it came out of California.
Well, it's kind of a silly answer, but it did come out of California. It's factually correct. Let me say this. I am not 100% sold on collaborative divorce. I did take the training, and there are people who talk about it and say you have to drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak. You have to believe in it. You have to accept on faith that it does work. I am concerned about that idea that people will opt into a program knowing that if they don't come to a settlement, they have to hire a different lawyer and start all over again. People who are stronger advocates of it than I am, and I'm not trying to be critical of it, but there are people who are very, very strong advocates of it. They say that it works, and you just have to trust that it works. And if you do enough of these cases, you'll see how it works. And if people are committed to it, they'll find a way to solve the case. If I had to rank things, I would rank mediation ahead of collaborative. The people who are more in favor of collaborative say that the problem with mediation is you don't have an attorney representing each side. You have just one neutral person. But the way I deal with that is when I am the mediator, I strongly recommend to both parties that they should each consult with an independent attorney, independent of me and my firm and independent of each other's lawyers, so that they can come to mediation with some sense of expectation as to what their best case and worst case scenarios are. So they can mediate. They're not mediating in the dark. They're mediating with some sense of what's likely going to happen in terms of an outcome. So to me, that's sort of the model that I think works best. You do have three professionals involved instead of one or two, but you're using the professionals much more efficiently. You're not constantly calling your lawyer every day and emailing your lawyer every day and going to court. You're checking in with your lawyer from time to time just to say, hey, we had another mediation session. This is what we discussed. This is what's on the table. We're going to meet again in another couple of weeks. Should I agree to this or not agree to this, or what do you think I should do next? And you can sort of like getting coached in between the sessions.
More on the milestones than
exactly.
the day-to-day.
Exactly.
Decisions.
And sometimes I am the lawyer representing one of the party who's mediating with one of my peers. And they'll come to me, the client that is, and say, I have another session in a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about child support or custody or the house or alimony, and I'm concerned about where it may be going. What do you think I should be asking for or offering? And we can figure all that out so they can go to that next session prepared.
Is there any movement to change the New Jersey collaborative law?
No, those people who feel most strongly about it will tell you that that is the essence of it, that without that, it really loses what it is, which is a process that people sign up for and believe in, and they'll do what they have to do to make it work. And that it would lose its entire meaning if you could stay with the same lawyer after it fails and go in a different direction.
And how many collaborative divorces has your firm processed?
Not that many.
Is that the right word, processed?
Yes. My sense is there is not a great demand for it yet. There may be in the future, and there are not that many people who, once they talk to lawyers about it, are as excited about it as they might have been originally. Again, I'm not saying that critically. It's just been my experience.
And I think for people to know that if it doesn't work, you have to start with someone new, I think that's a barrier.
Yeah, and again, you'd be told that you need to have it done that way because everybody needs to be committed 100% and that the lawyers – see, people have the suspicion that lawyers will make the case become more complicated, complex, take longer, cost more. And that the way to disincentivize the lawyers from doing that is to know that they'll lose the client if they don't settle the case. So I think that's the main thrust of the argument in favor of having that provision in the participation agreement.
I guess we'll have to see in New Jersey how that plays out and if collaborative divorce ends up making a believer out of all of us.
It could. The law's only been around for a couple of years, in fairness.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about that after our commercial break and learn a little bit more about this new law, new process in New Jersey.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back in the studio. I'm happy to be with all of you today and to have my guest, Bill Goodwin, with me from Gephardt and Kiefer. We're just talking about law in New Jersey. That's relatively new, just a few years, collaborative divorce. And if, you know, we've seen any great results with that and why people would do collaborative divorce rather than mediation, or at what point they would jump into collaborative divorce. And that should be at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. And as I said, I think the people who would advocate for collaborative feel that it provides the best of both worlds. On the one hand, you have each side being represented by a lawyer, so they have independent advocacy. But at the same time, they're all agreeing to avoid the court process, which could be a horrendous and expensive process. So that's the basic theory behind it. My concern with it, as I said, is the question of what happens if it falls apart. People do have to understand they have to re-engage new lawyers.
And trying to avoid a lengthy and emotional court proceedings, you started out the first part of the hour talking about how 95% of the cases in family law that you see end up being settled without going to court. Can you tell us maybe what those other 5% of cases,
sure,
if there's a history or...
Well, they're definitely patterns. One situation that happens from time to time is just simply an emotional issue. Someone is just unwilling to let go of the marriage or unwilling to let go of an issue, and there's no other way around it other than to have it go before a judge and have a judge decide the case. That's pretty rare. Usually by the end of the case, fortunately but unfortunately, the process can take so long, it tends to wear people down, and people finally – not literally, but figuratively throw up their hand and say, okay, fine, let's just get this thing settled. You hate to see it happen, though. It's not the way it's supposed to happen, but you do see that happen. The types of cases that I see go to trial, particularly my own cases that have gone to trial in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's rare, are cases involving children, involving custody, because you can say to a client, look, you're fighting over $20,000. It could cost each of you $10,000 to go to trial over this. So why don't you just split the difference, and instead of paying your lawyers the $20,000, split the $20,000 between the two of you. It's a simplified example, but I think it illustrates the point. But when it comes to children and children's rights and parents' rights with children, it's hard to put a dollar value on that. New Jersey has a statute that essentially says that if a parent has lived in New Jersey with a child and the child was born here or has lived here for at least 5 years, that parent can't move out of New Jersey with the child. They can vacation, but they can't move out of New Jersey unless the other parent agrees. And if the other parent doesn't agree, then the parent who wants to move has to go to court, and they have to make a case to the judge as to why they should be able to move. Those cases frequently go to trial because I half joke with people, if someone wants to move to California, your compromise can't be, okay, they can move to Missouri. You know, either they're going to not move or they're going to move, and someone's going to lose. Sometimes those cases can be negotiated where the person does get to move, but they give up quite a bit in terms of their parenting time. But more often than not, those cases end up going to trial. And I've had some very difficult, sad cases go to trial. I had a case, again, I can't get into any of the details for confidentiality reasons, but I can say that I represented the dad, and the mom, parents were already divorced. The mom filed an application to move, and I remember these dates, in May of 2010. The children were of a certain age at that point. The court finally decided in June of 2000. I'm sorry. The court decided that the judge correctly decided that the judge needed to have a trial to decide the issue, but the trial didn't start. Nope, let me take that back. The motion was filed in May of 2010. A decision was made in June of 2011 that we needed a hearing. The hearing started. You know what? I'm sorry. I got it backwards. The hearing started in June of 2011, a year later. The hearing finished in December of 2012, a year and a half later, and the decision was rendered in May of 2013. So it was 3 years from start to finish. And the answer was no, you can't move, by the way. But everybody's lives had gone on for 3 years, including these two little children. And all the money, they spent an incredible amount of money on lawyers, vocational experts, psychological experts. And it was very sad to see. But how could you decide the case other than having a judge decide it? Either she had to relent and say, I'll stay, or he had to relent and say, you can go. And neither one would relent. And those are the kinds of situations that you'll see typically go to court. Yeah.
And I read something recently that there's a huge backlog in the family court law, that it could take a year to get to trial,
yeah,
or longer. Is that true?
Yes. And it's not a function of design. It's a function of resources. There are some counties where a case can be reached for trial within 8 or 10 months of the filing date, when someone actually initiates the case. But in Hunterdon County and Somerset County, where two of the areas where I practice primarily, two of the counties, 2 years or more is not unusual. And it's just too long.
That is too long. Because you can't, you're just in limbo.
Your life is on hold. And when there's custody issues involved, the children are getting, I remember this hearing that took a year and a half, that between one court date and the next court date, something happened between the parents when they were dropping the children off or picking it up, and that would take on a life of its own and become another whole issue she would tell her version, he would tell his version, and it just kept going on and on and on.
And 3 years to have something settled. So I think it's good to have a background in mediation or collaborative divorce or some way to find an intermediate, acceptable decision everyone can live with.
And sometimes it's as simple as saying to someone, because you've experienced it, this process could take 2 or 3 years and could cost you X amount of dollars, and some stranger's going to decide this for you. Is this what you're willing to do? Are you prepared to do that? And sometimes people will sit back and over time, perhaps not say, no, it's not worth it immediately, but over time they'll often come to that decision.
Okay. We have a few minutes left in studio time. I always say studio time here at the radio station. I don't know why, but it seems to go quite quickly. So we were able to cover a few things, but I did want to be able to let listeners know about some resources if they're researching, and your website has some great information. The blogs that you mentioned, Diana Fredericks has, you have, and I'm sure your other partner has as well. And that website is www.gklegal.com. And you could go on to practices and look at the Family Law and Divorce page. But also, and I know you've been involved with the Hunterdon County Bar Association, they often have resources. There's publications that are available.
There are, and they have their own website. There's also something called the Hunterdon County Lawyer Referral Service. And what that offers someone is an opportunity to meet with a lawyer. It could be someone like me or someone else in the county who's on their list. And I forget the exact charge, but it is much less than what a lawyer would typically charge for a 1 hour. So you can have a 1 hour meeting with a lawyer to get advice on a family law or some other matter. And the fee, I believe, is $75, which is, you know, not a small amount of money, but compared to typical lawyer rates, it's much less.
That is a very good resource. And the Norwest Cap Career and Life Transition Center in Hunterdon County.
That's excellent.
And there are similar ones across the state. There's always legal clinics and opportunities where attorneys like yourself and people from your firm come out and for free will provide a seminar to a group. You're not getting an individualized opinion, but you are able to listen to the process and learn about how things operate.
Sure.
So education is important. And when we were speaking earlier, sometimes the emotional turmoil of being involved in family court can really be quite traumatic, so it's good to